Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. It's versioning Spike once again. All right, so today I've had this thing. I have this thing I called my procrastination list. It's stuff I know I need to do, and I just haven't got around to it. And, you know, honestly, versioning has been on this list. Now, back in January, I did a bunch of investigations around versioning, how activity libraries are versioned, and how we think about loading the correct assemblies, any kind of assembly that we have a dependency on in your activity. And I have a lot of material on my blog about that. We have endpoint episodes about that. We're not talking about that today. What I want to think about today is this versioning Spike project. And I have a blog post here where I decided to share with you what my project is, because I think spikes are a great concept. It's just it's a word for an investigation. It's a time-boxed investigation. So if we're looking at something and we say, gee, I really don't know how that works, and we need to investigate something, it's good to define the Spike project. So that's what I did here. I put in a little bit about what is the Spike about, how I think things work, and then some information on the scope. So there's three dimensions to versioning. Activity library versioning, already covered it, so I have my links there. Service and data contract versioning, there's lots of material on that in terms of just general web services and WCF, so I'm not really covering that here. Workflow versioning is the term, so it's a little confusing because when we talk about activities, you know, anything in workflow is an activity, right? So what's the difference between an activity and a workflow? Well, we think of the workflow as the activity that owns the other ones, right? So the thing that you hand a workflow application or workflow invoker, that's the workflow. The other ones are activities that it uses, okay? And the workflow itself could become an activity for some other workflow. But that's the terminology we use. So then I listed some questions that I thought we ought to investigate, and then some ideas I had about the scenarios of how I would do it. And then a couple of key scenarios for how I thought the ultimate end game of this looks like. So there's two key scenarios. One is I want to show how we can support side-by-side. So V1 and V2 running side-by-side and dispatching messages to the correct one. And then another scenario where you've got a bug in the workflow and you need to change it. What kind of things would you have to do to correct instances and update the instance store and all those kind of things. Now, one thing I did comment on in the blog post is right up here, aren't we solving versioning in the next release? Yeah, we are. But the next release is some time away, and you know, we're doing some things, and we always wonder, is it enough? Is it everything that we need to do to completely solve the problem? So what I'm going to do now is investigate how this works in .NET 4, and you can help me by telling me if I'm making sense, if I'm missing it some way, if there's something that you've discovered maybe, and I want to give you some tools. So let's do this spike together. Okay, so here's my first end of the day report on the spike. All right, so here's what I did today. So first of all, I wanted to create an environment where I could test two versions of an activity side by side and see what happens, you know, and when I make changes to them, what kind of changes cause things to blow up and what happens when they do. And this is useful because I think if you want to do these kind of investigations, you need to know how to do them. And I think the best way to do them is to use the Microsoft Activities Unit Testing Framework, because it gives me a lot of insight into what's happening. So I have that in place here. So what have I got here in my solution? I have a test project. It has references to Microsoft Activities and Activities Unit Testing. Okay, and then I have two activity libraries, V1 and V2. And there's really nothing in these except for this activity, this V1 activity. All right. And what this activity does is it simply, it does a write line to say what version. I have a variable here called instance version, so I'm going to initialize it to version 1. And then it uses an activity from the test framework called test bookmark to cause it to go idle. Then when we come back from that, we'll assign V1 there also. and then after the bookmark, we'll write out what the version number was. We'll assign the result to whatever value the bookmark was resumed with, and that's it. Okay, so now the first place I wanted to begin was is to have V2 be exactly the same as V1. So here's what I did. You'll notice that if I look here in the XAML that the namespace is just activity library. There's no V1 or V2 in it. It's just activity library.testActivity. I'm just going to take and copy all this XAML, and if I go to the V2 one, by the way, the shortcut key I'm using is F7. All right, I can just copy all this, paste it. All right, so now I've got the same exact thing in both XAML files. All right, and if we look at my test, let's look at what I did here in the test. Make this full screen so we can see it better. All right, so two things. I'm deploying these as deployment items, so the assemblies end up in the directory, the test directory. And then I go and say, all right, let's get this assembly, load the V1 assembly, and then we'll create the activity from the V1 assembly, and then repeat the same process with the V2 assembly. All right, so now I've got activities, one activity from each assembly. Then I'm using an instance store from our unit test framework. This is the memory store, so it's an in-memory instance store, so I don't have to set up a database. Okay, then what I do is I set up my workflow application. Now you see I'm using the class workflow application test that comes from the unit test framework. It wraps up a unit, a workflow application, handles all the events, and gathers all kinds of data about it, so it's very useful. Now, one thing I needed to do here was tell the workflow application that when there's a persistable idle, I want you to persist. Okay, so that will cause the persistence. And I set up host 2 the same way. Now I have two hosts. Okay, so the first thing I did here was to run the workflow until it gets to bookmark 1. All right, now I'm using an extension method here from Microsoft Activities called run episode. And what that does is it will just run until it sees the workflow goes idle with a bookmark named bookmark 1. Okay, once we get there, then I'm going to unload from host 1. So we'll just let go of that instance. And memory store, one of the cool things about it is that I can call memory store.dump, and it will just spew out all kinds of stuff, anything that's in the instance store. So if you've ever wondered what goes in the instance store, we're going to see exactly what goes in there. All right, then I take my second host, which is using V2 of the activity, and I load that instance, okay? And then we're going to resume the bookmark, and again, I'm using an extension method from Microsoft Activities called resume episode bookmark. And then at the end, I just want to assert that the result is what we expected, all right? So the expected value is what we resumed the bookmark with, which is just 1, all right? So that's what I've got so far. Now, if I go here, and I actually have two tests. I have one that just runs V1, because I just wanted to make sure I was doing this right, and then I've got V1 and V2. Now, if we run these tests, at this point, everything works, because they're both exactly the same. So what I wanted to do now is create an environment where I could try different things and see what kind of changes would cause a problem. All right, so if we go to V2, all right, and let's just open this in the designer so we can have some fun with it. Okay, so here in V2, maybe what we want to do is assign this variable, this instance version variable, to version 2 after the bookmark, right? I mean, maybe that would be kind of interesting, and then we'll see what it says the bookmark version is after the bookmark. Now, in this case, the change we made was updating an expression. And that's a very simple change. Maybe all we needed to do was change one little thing in an expression. Is that a breaking change? Well, I don't know. Let's find out and run it and see what happens. So I'm going to run my tests. And we see that they both passed. Surprise? Yeah. So if we look here at the test results, and let's go full screen on this. Whoops, that's not what we wanted. Test results, we wanted to go full screen. Pardon me while I struggle with my keyboard shortcuts. Gee, I guess apparently you can't go full screen with the test results like that. Well, anyway, let's minimize this window so we can see. So first of all, we see some outputs from the memory store. It just tells when it receives commands, and then here's the dump of the memory store. And it's kind of interesting to look at this. You can see what goes in the instance store. Well, one thing that goes in there is some information about the workflow instance. There's an owner and what locks are going on, and it has some properties and data. And so you can see that there is a read-only collection of bookmark info. All right, so first of all, we get the bookmarks that are going on. And remember, our workflow did set a bookmark, and the name of the bookmark was bookmark 1, and you can see that right there. So what we see here is good old serialized .NET stuff, XML serialization, just spewed out into that read-only collection of bookmarks. Then there is a property here, which is the last update. It's the time when the last time this thing was updated. There's another property, which is data about the workflow itself. And again, these are serialized object instances, and mostly they are representative of internal classes that the runtime uses to represent what's going on in the workflow. And you can see what they are. It's kind of verbose, but you know, if you want to look at it, it's interesting. Okay, and then down here we have a status. What is that? It is idle. Okay, so the status of the workflow right now is idle. And then there's some metadata about the instance type. All right, and so that's the end of the memory store dump. Now, if we look at our workflow, okay, so one interesting thing about this, and let's just look at the test. So you see that I have a try block and I have a finally here, and you notice in my finally I have host 1 and host 2 doing tracking trace. Okay, so I have to do that from both of them because host 1 only runs up to the first idle, then host 2 takes over. So if we look here, what do we see? Well, we see here here's where we came up and we set the bookmark and the workflow became idle, persisted, and unloaded. All right, that's the end of host 1. And then host 2 picks up right here. Okay, so we can see we resumed, and we resumed the payload. And look at this. Our activity assigned the version, the instance version, to version 2. So changing that expression totally worked and did not cause a problem. All right, so of course, when you're thinking about making a change in the workflow, it'd be kind of important to understand what point in the workflow this thing was at. So it's important to know that we went idle here. So if we change something up here above that, it's not going to make any difference because we're already past that, right? So then I was thinking, well, all right, let's make some kind of a more radical change. Maybe if we said, let's add a new variable. I don't know if this will make any difference or not. Let's just add a variable here called foo to activity v2. And let's just go and run this test here and see what happens. Okay, and look at that. Look at that, it failed. Right, because, so we got this interesting variable blah does not exist in this environment. So we messed up the collection. So there's this collection that, of environment that gets passed in. So adding a new variable, clearly that would mess it up. All right, let's try, let's go in here and take foo out. Let's try something else that we can do here. Let's put in, let's add another write line activity to the end. All right, and just see if that messes it up. Okay, so let's run the test again. Okay, and looking at the test results, so now we got a different exception. And so the kind of exception you'll get is probably a validation exception. And you'll get something like, hey, I found this, it's not what I was expecting. And, you know, so it's screwy the way this works because you would think, oh, it was expecting test bookmark and it found this location reference value version thing. So the way that works is that when we walk the activity tree, we assign numbers and sometimes they get screwed up and things like this. So you just never know. So that's what I've learned so far. Hope that helps you for Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacob.